Amen. Good singing. We'll be in the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning once again. We will be having our midweek service this upcoming Wednesday. Should be done with all that canceling stuff. I don't like to do that, but sometimes when you look at what needs to be done in order to have something, it says, well, I don't know. But did get to go down the road and listen to Living Proof and Recklaw on Wednesday at a revival meeting there. So got to go hear them. And that church there in Recklaw, good to have them back with us today. Also, we're going to look this morning at the call of Moses. And I believe there's some things that the Lord would have for us to learn, maybe be reminded of when we consider the calling of God on our lives. Exodus chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verses 1 down through 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I'm thankful God comes down to us. And to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Got a marking there, though I'm not going to blame that. I probably couldn't have read it anyway, but that don't help. Verse 9, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this opportunity once again that we have to gather in your house. And as your word is opened, I just ask you, Lord, to meet with us. I ask you to help me. I ask you to help all those in attendance today, those who are watching, unable to be here, those who will watch later. Just ask you, Lord, to meet with us and just provide just what we need to our hearts. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it. I ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to look at some basic things in terms of our communication with God. It is through our communication with God and our walk with God that callings are issued by God. I do believe that at any age, there is something for you to do for the Lord. I remember my call to preach when I was young, around 12 years old is when I was called to preach. And to many and to me, that's a big calling. But there was a lot of other smaller callings in my life, even as a young person. There was things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. There was people that I believe the Lord wanted me to speak to befriend. Things like that. So there's a lot of little callings throughout life that comes through our walk with God. And it should be our desire to be used of God. And briefly this morning, we're going to look at the call of Moses and hopefully see some things that we can apply to our lives. So first off, we see where the Lord got the attention of Moses. Moses was going about his day doing what he does with the flock. His father-in-law's flock, and he's watching them. And then the Lord has to get his attention because the Lord has something to communicate to him. We see that in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That is an attention getter, if you saw that. And when God wants your attention, he begins a process of trying to get it. We have so many distractions. We have television, we have internet, we have cell phones, you name it, and it's a distraction. God still tries to find ways in the hustle and bustle of everything in daily life to get our attention. Not a burning bush as he did with Moses, but the Lord desires our attention. And he does because he has something to communicate to us. You know, God has to get my attention at times. Then for some of us, we have a short attention span. God may have our attention for a brief moment, and then our mind begins to wander. I can't tell you the times I've been praying and then distraction comes. And sometimes it's just like that. I'm talking to the Lord and then I'm talking to myself about my day and what's coming up. I'm talking to the Lord. And then I'm trying to figure out what I got to do tomorrow, or something else that's on my mind. And sometimes what happens, we're taking these things to God. And in the process of giving them to him, We're in the pot too. That's really what it comes down to. Sometimes we're giving it to him, and then we're like, hold up, I'm trying to figure this out right here, and what I can do. And the mind begins to wander. We begin to get distracted, even in prayer. I'm reading my Bible, and my mind begins to wander, constantly on rabbit trails. You're reading the Bible and the Lord's giving you something about it. Then before long, your mind has rabbit trailed off. I mean, your branch is way off of what the Lord is initially trying to teach you through the passage. We do this. When the Lord has our attention, then he's trying to keep our attention. And we are awful at times, and some of us might even have a disorder. My hand would be up. I think they call it attention deficit. I don't have the hyperactive part, but I do got the mind that I got every bit of that. But God doesn't speak until he has our attention. He doesn't talk to brick walls. He doesn't talk to deaf ears and closed doors. He'll do what he can to get our attention. And one of my challenges to you today would be to stay in a place where you value what God has to say to the point that you take it, that you make it a priority to position yourself in a place for God to be able to speak to you. Our days can be filled up so quick, family, work, recreation, and even ministry, life. You could not pick up a device or turn your TV on all day and still be running like a chicken with your head cut off. Just busy, 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 busy. And if we aren't careful, God has to track us down to get our attention when we should be positioning ourselves by getting alone and shutting down the distractions and saying, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to surrender." And the reason is because God only speaks when he has our attention. In verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.'" I love the part where it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see." See, God may prick our hearts to spend time with him, but he isn't going to turn our radio off. He's not going to turn our TV off. He's not going to turn our cell phone off or our computer. God gives us choices. And you decide whether or not you are going to turn off your distractions and listen to the voice of God. When God has something to say to you and I, He shares it with us when He has our attention. God spoke to Moses when he had his complete and full, undivided attention. God speaks to me the most when I'm quiet, when I'm alone. And you know what? I know the times, and I trust you do too, when you get too busy for God. We have those times in our life, even over the last couple of weeks. It's like, you know what? There's been some times where it's like, you know what? I got to pump the brakes a little bit. And we know when we're outrunning God, we know when we get so busy, we don't have time for the Lord. We start reverting back sometimes into some things. And, you know, we might start getting maybe a little bit more irritable, maybe a little closer to getting in the flesh. But I believe Moses stopped, turned, and looked, and then said, "Here am I." And that's exactly what we need to do when God calls. We got to shut it all down. We need to exemplify the fact that God has our attention, our complete undivided attention. Now, how will people know this? They'll know this by how we live our lives. They'll know this by our priorities. They'll know this by witnessing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. When God speaks, how will you respond? We see how Moses responded, "Here am I." And what strikes me interesting here is that Moses heard God. That means Moses wasn't distracted. And when God had Moses' full attention, Moses stayed focused long enough to hear from God. Yes, we have more distractions today than we did when this particular event took place, but nonetheless, the importance of not being distracted shouldn't be taken away from Moses. Because even in that day, even though they didn't have all the distractions, how many of you can testify that if you only got just a few things with you, it don't take much. It don't take much at all to be distracted. Back in the day before cell phones, you'd sit in the hospital waiting room and it was Reader's Digest. People get distracted on Reader's Digest. Now we talk about how everybody's face is buried in their phone at the hospital. Nobody's talking to anybody. Well, it was Reader's Digest then. It's just something different now. It was the magazine rack before. Now it's just something different. There's always been distractions. There's always been things out there that could preoccupy our minds if we allow it to the point that it interferes with reality. And I tell you what, the devil wants us to be focused on things that are not a reality to us, things that are a reality to other people. You got all these shows today, reality television, other people's lives, watching other people live their lives. We watch other people live their lives so much, we're going to lose track of our own. We'll lose track of our own lives. Now, there's always been things throughout history, throughout the history of mankind, that we could be distracted by. We're only as distracted by particular items that we conclude to be a necessity as we allow. TV isn't to blame for our distractions. Social media isn't to blame for our distractions. Cell phones isn't to blame for our distractions. It's easy to blame objects or events. It's easy to even blame the life that we live when in many ways we could peel back on a lot of that too. But it's easy to blame these things that don't have mind, will, and emotions. When at the end of the day, free moral agents, those created by God with a mind, with a will, and emotion must make the choice to not allow things around us to distract us from hearing God's voice. To blame things for not being able to hear God is as backwards as blaming guns for killing people. Objects don't make choices. Man makes choices with and for objects. Moses wasn't distracted. And Moses And because Moses wasn't distracted, he heard from God. And I tell you today, all that Moses ever accomplished in his life came back to not being distracted. So he could hear the voice of God. And then to make himself available for a holy God to use him for his honor and glory. I'm telling you this morning, the root of the lack of callings today in our churches is sin and distractions. Both stifle the voice of God in our lives. Our churches aren't sending out as many preachers as we used to. Preachers become missionaries. They become evangelists. They become pastors. We've got to get back to positioning ourselves in a place to hear from God. And making ourselves available to God, that's another big kicker. Moses responded, "Here am I." Again, God don't force us to listen. He'll try and get our attention, but he wants us to make the choice to stop and listen. Notice also, we'll look at this in verse 5, but God identifies himself as holy when he speaks. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." As a child of God, you and I shouldn't have to be reminded that God is holy and that when he speaks, it's time to stop whatever we're doing and listen. When I was a child, one of the first things I learned was when mom and dad's talking, you stop what you're doing and you look at them. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I teach my boys the same thing. When God has something to say, there's nothing more important than that. When God speaks, it's holy. Shut off everything and give him your full attention. If God is holy and God is in the right place in our lives, we recognize his holiness when he speaks and we place what he's saying as the most important thing. In the Marines, I'm often reminded of this. When the first sergeant or company commander or battalion commander was talking, we weren't talking. You'd go to attention, you'd go to parade rest. That was a position of humility, so to speak. I know in boot camp, they took it as a threat that you were getting ready to fight them if they got in your face and you did not go to a position of surrender, which was essentially your hands are behind your back at parade rest. You didn't do that. And it was like, "What, you want to fight me?" Screaming, like almost like they wanted you to so they could kill you. Almost like they're going to bait you into it. They're going to goat you into it. It was a position of humility, so to speak, a position of respect. You were acknowledging on the outside that you were that someone was in front of you that was more important than you. You were acknowledging on the out. Well, I already said that he didn't even have to say anything at times. If the commanders, if they walked into the room, it initiated a response of respect. If it was in the barracks room, it was attention immediately. It was a commanding officer. It was attention immediately. Then the higher up would say at ease. At that point, they'd say, "Turn your TV off," or they'd say, "Turn your radio off," because in the barracks, it was crazy. But there was always at least one room every day that had their music on where everybody could hear it at the whole barracks. You'd have several hundred guys in one barracks, and there was always one. And he had, I don't know what you call them, the subwoofers and all that stuff. I don't know, the amps and all that. I don't know any of that. But it took everything that you would have in the back of a car and had it in their barracks room. And had it rigged up where everybody could hear it. And just do, 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 do. But when the superiors came around, you cutting all that off. Not supposed to be doing that. The higher up would say at ease because he wanted your attention. They loved to play games in the Marines too. If you were caught sitting down when they came up, they would say something along those lines. You like to sit down, huh? And then they'd play games with you. They'd have you sitting down in some uncomfortable way or on something uncomfortable because you like to sit. But God doesn't do that. There's no timeouts with God. There's no games with God. He just says, okay, I'll go use someone else. You know, there's not a doubt in my mind that all the events in the Bible still would have took place according to God's divine plan. But if these people did not surrender their wills to God's will, it would have just been somebody else instead of them. God's holiness demands our attention, and we need to give God his due attention. If God's number one, everything else is not. But oftentimes we find that God takes a back seat to a lot of different things. Notice he also identifies himself. See, in verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him. You know, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we should be, as believers, familiar enough to recognize the voice of God as he speaks to our hearts. The Lord even says in Scripture that his sheep hear his voice. I worry about people, even professing believers, that it seems foreign to them that the Holy Spirit would speak to them. That's odd. One time I had a guy who was in church 30, 40 years say, you mean the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Then I start praying for him. Real seriously. The word says, my sheep hear my voice. They know when the Lord's talking to them. They know. God identifies himself. God reveals his purpose, his plan, his call for you. We read in Exodus 3, verses 7 through 12. You can read up on that, but we see God's purpose and his plan for Moses. I ask you today, what is your purpose? What is your plan from God? You know, it's not just to attend church. And God used Moses mightily. And he can use you also and wants to, but he has to have your attention. If you want to be used of God and sent out by God, you have to give God your complete attention. And you may say, I'm not able to serve God. Well, I'm thankful that God, who he calls, he also equips. God will never send you to do a job alone. He'll always be there with you. I'm thankful for that. He'll always guide the submissive heart that's willing to be used of God. If we were to look at the complete calling of Moses here this morning, Moses came back with lip on a couple of occasions. Lip is pretty much little bit of back talk, little bit of arguing. By the way, that's fairly common amongst the people that God has used mightily. So if you've ever argued with God about something big that he wanted you to do, you're definitely not alone. You can there's several examples in the Bible where God's calling was higher than what the individual felt they were capable of. God said something. Moses came back with something. Finally, the Lord, I believe, is getting a little bit upset. But you know, at some point, and we know Moses at some point had to arrive at the place where you just surrender and trust. I've told y'all, I believe, a couple of times, several months back, how back in 2015, I was struggling, wanting to quit the ministry altogether. I was battling with God on who he wanted me to be. I tried to leave the Marines in the Marines. I was still haunted, so to speak, by many experiences. I'd find myself in week-long, month-long battles that stemmed from triggers. And I was telling God, no. I can't be who you want me to be. This is not who I am. I'm a Marine. I'm a rough man. I got scars. It is what it is. I'm accepting it. Why can't you? Kind of a thing. I was ready just to accept myself as who and what I was at the time. And just tell God I can't be who you want me to be. But praise God, I'm still walking one step at a time because the man that God would have me to be, I'm still pursuing that. walking one step at a time. And you know what? God will equip you. He equipped Moses. He has equipped me and equipping me still. I'm nowhere near arrived. He's equipped many of you. When God calls you, it is one step at a time. All you have to do is get the ball rolling, is surrender. Here am I, send me. Don't be afraid to pass out a tract. God will equip you to do that. Don't be afraid to make a call to be a blessing. God will equip you. But the main thought this morning is God wants our attention. And He'll use different things to get it. When you're away from God, I believe God uses what we would call negative things. We've got all of this this talk today of positive reinforcement. There's not much of that in the Bible when you do wrong. It's negative reinforcement. You do wrong, there's going to be a negative consequence to remind you that it'd be better off not to do that. We don't see positive reinforcement with the prodigal son. Hey, you're in that pigsty here. I'm going to bring you a candy bar, and maybe you'll value the candy bar that you're going to get enough to get up out of the pigsty and behave. That's not what we see. We see a whole lot of negative reinforcement. You do wrong, there's going to be consequences, negative ones. Now, I'm not saying God can't use His blessings. The Bible even talks about how the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness upon us, even when we don't deserve it. I'm not trying to minimize grace, but grace and positive reinforcement, that's two different things. But God's goodness that He bestows upon us, even though we're undeserving of it, the Lord uses that too. Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights was a negative thing. God used the prodigal son, found himself living with and eating after the swine before he came to himself and surrendered. God wants our attention, and it's much easier to go ahead and give it to Him. There was a time when I was away from the Lord, and the Lord was using all kinds of things to get my attention. And I tell you, it's a whole lot better when the Lord has it to begin with. I don't ever want to go through again in my life what I went through when the Lord didn't have my attention. And I tell you what, sometimes you just got to get far enough on the other side. Just got to distance yourself enough from that old life, that old ways, to truly begin to value what a life is when the Lord has your complete attention and you're completely surrendered. I went through that stage when I was coming back to the Lord where I was, and it's a natural process. Sometimes we look at somebody and they say, oh, they're a fence straddler. You know what everybody has to do when they're going from one side of the fence to the other? Cross it. You got to cross it. Now, I know that, I'm not trying to be sarcastic this morning. But there is a process of going from one side of the fence to the other. You're going to straddle it at least for a little bit. At least for a little bit. Now, everybody's time on that fence as they straddle it is different. Some people, they might sit there a little bit in the process of getting over. I can't really tell you how long I straddled the fence going from one side to the other. I can't really definitively say this date to that date. But you struggle going from one side to the other. Part of if you're straddling the fence is letting go of the stuff that's on this side of the fence. That takes time. Some people act like the moment you get saved, you don't sin no more. And if you don't quit sinning altogether, every bit of it, then something ain't right with you. No, sometimes there's a process of letting go of things that's over here. Not to bring it over here. I don't know anybody who hasn't straddled the fence. If you ever been completely all out on the other side of the fence. And then there's people who spent their whole life on this side of the fence trying to straddle it, coming back, coming over here. But God wants our attention, and He's going to do things to get our attention. And again, it's much easier to just give Him our attention than to let Him constantly come at us with stuff to get our attention. You know, because of who He is, He's deserving of our attention. And again, I've lived both. But give God His due attention, because He's deserving and worthy. There's no life better than serving God and being in fellowship with Him and listening to His voice. And I trust today you know what your calling is or what your gift is. A lot of times your gift, that is your calling. Most times your gift is your calling. And everybody in here has a gift. Everybody in here has something that the Lord has blessed them with for them to do and for them to use for His honor and glory. And it's sad. And you know what? You can even look out at the world sometimes. And I don't understand. In my mind, I would think, Lord, why don't You bless people with vocal ability that's going to use it all for Your honor and glory and not some of these other people? Although now it don't matter with all the stuff they can do to alter your voice and stuff like that. If you all know if somebody sings good, go to their concert. Well, even then, that can be messed with. But strip away all that stuff. Sing a solo a cappella. Sing that. But it don't matter now. Now it's at the point, if you fit the agenda that they want to promote, then they'll just change all this sound and stuff to make you sound great just because you're on their side. But that's a whole nother thing. But God has equipped us with gifts that He wants us to use for His honor and glory. And I trust today you know what yours is and that you're using it for God's honor and glory. But it comes, it's only going to come from the Lord having your attention. And when He has your attention, that's when He's going to speak. And you know what? It is my desire, and I know it's the Lord's desire, that we be a church that the Lord has our attention so that we can hear from Him. If we want to hear from the Lord, service in and service out, He's going to have our attention. Now, we're going to have times where we all come in and we're just kind of deflated. And I don't know what the cause of that is, but I've seen in every church that I've been in, and the churches, Caesarea I pastored, and here that I pastored, every place I've been, sometimes, I don't know what it is, but everybody just comes in kind of deflated. They say, week wasn't bad. We're just, meh. I can't explain it. And I ain't been a member of bad churches, and I ain't pastored no bad churches. I don't know. I guess it's just part of life, I guess. I don't know. If we got too many of them, there's a problem. For sure. But sometimes that happens. But I believe the Lord wants my attention and He wants your attention so that we're ready to hear. We're ready to listen. We're ready to follow. We're ready to do what He would have for us to do as a church. Lord, as we come before You, thank You for this opportunity.